Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Happy Wednesday, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. You know, we live in a day and an age and a time, and everybody is so sanctimoniously perfect. It's hard to live in a world with such perfection. So Sean Spicer, who's the press secretary for the president, he misspeaks yesterday. It's obvious he misspoke in terms of what he was saying. And everybody, this is, you know, the worst thing I've ever heard. And it, just to let you know, he was trying to make a point about the use of chemical weapons, and he said this.
We didn't use chemical weapons in World War II. You know, you had a, you know, someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. So you have to, if you're Russia, ask yourself, is this a country that you and a regime that you want to align yourself with? You have previously signed on to international agreements, rightfully acknowledging that the use of chemical weapons should be out of bounds by every country. To not stand up to not only some, but your own word should be troubling. This is Russia put their name on the line. So it's not a question of how long that alliance has lasted, but at what point do they recognize that they are now getting on the wrong side of history in a really bad way, really quickly?
And then he went on to explain that when it comes to sarin gas, Hitler was not using the gas on his own people the same way Assad is doing, that he used them in the Holocaust centers. He was talking about the death camps and the gas that was used. Look, obviously he misspoke. Obviously, you know, it's amazing to me. And then he apologized. He said, I'm so sorry. It didn't come out the way I wanted. What I really meant to say is I understand my mistake. I apologize. And it's like there's no room in society anymore for anybody that talks, for anybody to say anything without somebody interpreting it in a way that it's racist, it's sexist, it's Islamophobic, it's xenophobic, it's anti-Semitic. It's just, you know, the guy misspoke. He said something stupid. So what? You know what? He apologized. And it's like everybody wants to take every offense and make it a death penalty offense. Look, we live, let me just give you some background as to what it's like to be a radio or TV commentator in this day and age. There are people that are literally in their underwear right now. Some people in New Mexico, for example. And their entire life is to monitor every word I say on this show. And there are people that monitor Russia's show and people that monitor Fox News all day and people that monitor Mark Levin's show and people, you know, it just never ends. And Laura Ingraham's show. And, you know, it's and what are they hoping for? They're hoping and praying and believing, oh, if he says one thing wrong, one word, one sentence, one phrase out of context, makes a mistake, you can't even apologize for making a mistake anymore. Now, Congress, they get to revise. I'd like to ask the chair if I may revise and extend my remarks. And I'm like, okay, so they can do it. You know, every once in a while, you just got to accept that people say stupid things. And if they apologize, you move on. If they keep saying stupid things, then it becomes a pattern. But I met Sean Spicer. He's a nice guy. He's not out to screw anybody. He's not out to hurt anybody. Doesn't have a mean bone in his body. And obviously, it just came out awful. Okay, he said he's sorry. Let's move on. Isn't it strange that we have all these people that might... Can you think of what a horrible existence it must be for somebody who gets paid to monitor me four hours a day?
I get paid to monitor you.
You don't get paid to monitor me. You get paid to produce a radio show. Stop whining in there about your job. You don't get paid to... But some loser sitting in their underwear in a basement somewhere, it's creepy that they monitor all of us that are commentators. You know what they're hoping for? Hannity screws up. And then we can go after his advertisers. Then we can go. We can start a boycott. And then we can silence him. Because they don't want alternative voices on the radio. Liberals are not about freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Because they never do this to liberals. How many years have I said on this program, I am not ever signing on to any boycott because I don't like what people say or do. I don't do boycotts. And I think conservatives are dumb if they do them. Because eventually they're just going to turn it around and boycott you. Now, the reasons liberals want to boycott somebody like myself is because they can't compete in the radio market or the TV market even for that matter. So they have everything else and they just want to silence conservative voices. It just is a little bit ridiculous. You know, I've said things in my life that I regret. I've said things in my life that I wish I never said. I've apologized to people for saying them at times. And, you know, liberals say dumb things all the time. I mean, we made fun of Obama for saying Navy corpsman four times in a speech because I don't think he knew what a Navy corpsman was. And as commander in chief, it's just pretty pathetic, actually.
All around the world. Navy corpsman Christian Bashar. And lying on a gurney aboard the USNS Comfort, a woman asked Christopher, "Where do you come from? What country?" And in Creole, Corpsman Burchard responded, "In Tanzania, the United States of America."
Corpsman? You know, but Obama was never held to the same standard. And listen, one of the things, when I researched my book, Deliver Us from Evil, and we did a lot of research, because in the last century, 100 human souls were destroyed in wars and terror and every unimaginable evil that took place in the world. And there's nothing more that exemplifies evil more to me than the Holocaust. I described in the book, I found this research, you know, this is how dark and evil the people at these death camps were. They would actually tell people when they got off the trains at Auschwitz or any of these other death camps, "Oh, are there any electricians here and amongst you?" "Yes, electricians, step forward." "Are any nurses?" "Oh, good, we have need for nurses." "Any construction workers?" "Oh, we have need for construction workers." And you know why they did that? Because they wanted to keep chaos from breaking out, and they wanted to create false hope that they had a future and a life even within the horror and the evil of that camp. Now, imagine that's your job. And then you walk these people in, you strip them down, humiliate them, and you kill them, and you murder them, and you exterminate them. That's evil. Evil exists. You know, it's like, this goes to my whole argument about why I think the president did the right thing in Syria. Now, it was within what he promised to do. He said he would fight terror. He said he didn't want occupation. He didn't want boots on the ground. He didn't want America to get involved in foreign conflicts like we did. But now America's choices, the difference now is the world has moral clarity again. And I just don't think as a country we can stand back, or should we stand back and watch evil and a Holocaust emerge before our eyes and not do anything and go to sleep at night. And those Nazi soldiers who did that day in and day out, killing their fellow human beings, it's unconscionable. It's evil. What do you think it is when somebody murders somebody out of rage and anger? That's evil. How does any man ever rape and violate a woman? It's evil. What about these pedophiles that abuse children and destroy them? of their soul and their innocence. That's evil. There's a lot of evil in this world. Why do you think I want the biggest, baddest, toughest, strongest military? To defend America against foreign evil forces, knowing the history of the world, knowing the last 100 years of human history, knowing that the Holocaust really happened, knowing that the killing fields in Cambodia really happened, knowing that nearly 30 million people were slaughtered under Stalin in Russia. It really happened. And the conquest and you know, all throughout the ages, and the murder and the mayhem and the rape and the it just exists. And, you know, we always say about the Holocaust, never again. We should really mean it. And if you're going to gas innocent men, women and children, how do we stand back and not at least try? Now, I think Trump will be successful because I don't think they want 59,000 pound munitions dropped on their head again, the way we did it with such pinpoint accuracy because we got the best military on the face of the earth. But he did the right thing. Now, the president did say today, he's got a press conference coming up supposedly in an hour, that we're not going into Syria. Our policy is the same. It hasn't changed. We're not going to Syria. And that is in keeping with what he said. And that brings up another point. How do we ask brave men and women to go fight, bleed, and die on the battlefield? Our government sends them there, and then they pull them out after they achieve one victory after another to stop evil. And it was interesting to hear James Clapper reiterate what I had said for years, that I believe Saddam Hussein had his chemical weapons arsenal, biological weapon arsenal, moved into Syria. And he said there's evidence of convoys that show just in the lead up to the war that that very thing was happening. Where else did Assad get the chemical weapons from? Which, by the way, Obama and Rice and John Kerry, I voted $47 million before I voted against it. Interesting developments with Tillerson today, our Secretary of State. By the way, this, you know what this means, because Vladimir Putin did decide to meet with Rex Tillerson today. It means that, you know, those people over at NBC News are going to be claiming this is more proof that Putin orchestrated the Syrian missile strike to make Trump look good. That's what they're saying on NBC News every day. Anyway, so the Secretary of State waited for much of the day wondering whether he would actually get a face-to-face with Vladimir. And the two men sat down at the Kremlin late this afternoon, Russia time, in their first face-to-face meeting. And Russia said earlier this week that Putin would not meet with Tillerson. But on Wednesday, the Russian leader's spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, held out the possibility of meeting later in the day. Russian leaders have greeted virtually all new secretaries of state since the end of the World War II. But Mr. Peskov said any meeting would depend on how Mr. Tillerson and his other talks went. So the foreign ministry spokesperson said it was useless for Mr. Tillerson to arrive in Moscow with ultimatums and suggested that if he wanted any progress, he should start by getting Mr. Trump and his administration on the same page about Syrian strategy. And there was a question about all of this. Anyway, the bottom line is Putin caved. Here's another interesting headline today. China is threatening to take out North Korea's nuclear facilities on their own. All right. Donald Trump also commenting it's not too late to fire James Comey, the FBI director. We got some bitter sounding comments from John McCain yet again. Lindsey Graham, the war hawk, wants the red line to expand from chemical weapons to barrel bombs. We'll get to that today. We have the FBI obtained a FISA warrant for direct surveillance of a Trump aide, which means that Sarah Carter and John Solomon were right. And we have a new book out that shows just how mean Hillary was terrorizing her entire campaign staff. So we'll get to all this today. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show. So it is, this is pretty interesting because, you know, we've been all over the surveillance, the unmasking, the leaking intelligence issue. So we have now the first mainstream media confirmation. Isn't it nice that they finally catch up to me? I'm so far in advance of them. It's ridiculous. That the Obama administration targeted the Trump campaign for political surveillance. They should have said Sean Hannity was right. Donald Trump was right. It happened. Now, this was not an American citizen being picked up incidentally as part of surveillance of a foreign national. And what happened here was the targeted surveillance was a low-level Trump advisor. I don't even know the guy. I've never met him. That I can remember. I don't remember meeting him. That ordered by an administration that backed his opponent, based apparently on the Clinton campaign's conspiracy theory that the Russians were helping Trump steal the election from Hillary. Anyway, the FBI obtained a secret court order last summer to monitor communications of President Donald Trump's some guy advisor to Donald Trump's campaign, part of an investigation into possible links between Russia and the campaign. According to law enforcement, the FBI and the Justice Department obtained the warrant targeting Carter Page's communications after convincing a FISA court judge that there was probable cause to believe that Page was acting as an agent of a foreign power, in this case, Russia. Now, this is the clearest evidence so far that the FBI had reason to believe during the 2016 campaign that a Trump advisor was in touch with Russian agents. No, it's the clearest evidence that the Obama administration used America's intelligence gathering, weaponizing intelligence, politicizing intelligence agencies against their political opponents, and which I keep saying is the definition of a police state. In fact, Carter Page himself understands all too well what happened here. It says it confirms my suspicions about unjustified, politically motivated government surveillance, he said. I have nothing to hide, he said. He compared the surveillance of him to the eavesdropping by the FBI and the Justice Department, you may not remember this, against civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. Remember the letter that was sent to him that he should kill himself? Anyone forget that little bit of history? And during the hearing last month, Democratic lawmakers repeatedly singled out Page's contacts in Russia for cause for concern. But the judges who rule in the FISA court, you know, they rarely deny an application. Any FISA application has to be approved at the highest levels of the Justice Department, meaning Loretta Lynch and James Comey. Unbelievable. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Here's an interesting thing going on in France. I guess good thing France doesn't have their own Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, where I guess you can't vet people coming into America being a top priority, because the current frontrunner in France's presidential election, because of all the immigration issues, the migrant issues, all the crime that has increased all throughout Europe and France and Germany and the terror attacks and Belgium and Sweden and Great Britain. But Marine Le Pen has pledged to suspend France's membership of the European Union's borderless area immediately if she's elected to the presidency, and deport all foreign nationals on the Republic's Islamist watch list. Every second of my presidency will be useful to France and the French. Sounds a lot like America First, said the 48-year-old leader of the Front National in a video outlining the first 10 measures she intends to implement if she is elected. Anyway, she said pulling out of this, described by the former Interpol chief as effectively as an international passport-free zone for terrorists to execute attacks on the continent and make their escape following the Paris attacks, means an immediate showdown with the European Union and their unelected central executive. The European Union was never, ever a good idea. Interesting headlines on Drudge today. One is Navy SEALs are training to take out Kim Jong-un, or as Ali calls him, the chubby despot. And China, U.S. is not bluffing. And a hidden sub-threat is going on where nuclear sniffers are deployed. And we would have the ability, if they want to escalate, this might be the time. Now, what's even more interesting is an Investor's Business Daily piece today. And I understand, you got to understand why a lot of this is happening. The world has gotten used to America leading from behind. America's gotten used to appeasement. The world has gotten used to American appeasement. The world's gotten used to, you know, a president that's afraid to go out there and say radical Islamic terror. You know, they're used to a guy that goes around the world apologizing constantly for American strength and giving a ridiculous deal to the Iranians and betraying our closest ally, Israel. That's what the world is used to. Now the world's changed, and it changed dramatically when Donald Trump fired those Tomahawk missiles. So anyway, decades worth of negotiations by Clinton, Bush, the Obama administrations. By the way, if you want to know why North Koreans have nuclear weapons, it's exactly the same mistake Obama was making with Iran. And they'd saber rattle in North Korea, and we would appease them with more money and more goodies. And just promise us you're going to be good if we give you this. And we'd give them money, we'd buy peace for 6 months, and they'd go back to their same old ways and get more money. And that's how stupid Bill Clinton was. And it ended up that the North Koreans got nukes anyway. Then you got this mentally unstable leader of North Korea that really should scare everybody. At the time, he doesn't have intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. But anyway, Americans' diplomats have complained. They've issued warnings in the past. Clinton, Bush, Obama, all of them demanding action, passing sanctions, declaring this or that. Behavior of Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un, his son, all of which drew the same response from Kim Jong-sung, Kim Jong-il, and Kim Jong-un. Father, son, grandfather. Which is a giant middle finger in the face of America. Now, the response from Beijing at those during those times in history, it wasn't much better either. I guess what a difference a new president makes, because China is now threatening North Korea, its own client state, with a military attack that'll take out their nuclear weapons program. Can you imagine that alliance emerging? Look, the world's configuration and alliances are still shifting even as we speak, in large part because of Obama appeasement and weakness. I mean, the only reason the Israelis, the Saudis, the Jordanians, the Egyptians are now getting along is because of a mutual fear of a nuclear-armed Iran and Iranian hegemony in the region, as also influenced by Russia taking advantage of the situation in Syria and aligning with Iran on missile defense and some other defense issues. So you got the Shia, the Iranians, versus the Sunni Muslims that have aligned with Israel and the United States. It probably could not have happened this way were it not for Obama appeasement and weakness. Well, the same thing may be appearing, and I'm way ahead of myself here. I'm just hopeful, actually. And that is that apparently, and this, I talked to somebody close to the president, they were stunned, absolutely stunned about the chemistry that existed with the Chinese president and the first lady and Donald Trump and the first lady of China. Absolutely stunned at how well they all got along. A friend of mine told me that Donald Trump actually had to tell him during dinner that the Tomahawk missile order was given, and that the guy sat silent for about 10, 15 seconds and said, "Well, you shouldn't use chemical weapons on children. I agree with you." I can't confirm that, but I was told by somebody. And I'm not surprised. So apparently they really hit it off. When I explained to him that what we were doing because they were gassing children, he understood immediately, Trump said. I asked about their summit, given some of the harsh things that Trump had said about China. He said, "I was a little surprised. We had great chemistry." Now, they had scheduled a one-hour meeting. It ended up going nearly 5.5 hours. Between Trump and the president of China alone, the premier. I like him and he liked me a lot. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to get along on trade or North Korea, but we had great chemistry. So it's certainly a hopeful sign. Now, here's where it gets interesting. According to Investors Business Daily, observers noted that the missile attacks on the Syrian airbase were launched as President Trump sat down to dinner last week with China's president, and the Chinese president immediately recognized that this president, unlike previous presidents, acts quickly to make sure bad situations don't get worse. And despite their, at times, rocky relationship, China's the totalitarian communist North Korea's regime's main patron and protector. That's why I mentioned the coal that they shipped back to North Korea as a sign that China may be willing to align with other people at this point in history. And alliances have shifted and changed, you know, a lot over the many decades. So it's not beyond comprehension. Anyway, so accounting for over half of North Korea's trade and much of their food and much of their energy supplies, Anyway, they're striving for self-sufficiency, but without aid from China, North Koreans would starve. So China's their most important ally. And even so, North Korean tyrant Kim Jong-un appears to be preparing a sixth nuclear test and has threatened the U.S. with a nuclear strike if they interfere, if we interfere. And knowing now that Trump means business, China seems to have reached the end of its patience with this unpredictable loony lunatic that is in charge, Kim Jong-un. And we know that because a tough editorial in the Global Times, which is an international newspaper owned by the Chinese Communist Party, actually warned that China's government has a bottom line, and if that bottom line is touched, China will employ all means available, including the military means, to strike back. This is China's Communist Party newspaper. And the editorial then goes a step further, telling North Korea that it won't wait for the U.S. to do the dirty work, but they will launch the attacks against North Korea's nuclear facilities on their own. Wow, that's pretty profound. Who knows? Maybe this relationship is going to change dramatically for the better. It's obvious that China has tried to adopt more. Well, I got to be careful how I say this. I mean, this is all relative. It's still a communist state. It's still, you know, Mao's little red book here. But they are building way out within the countryside all these condominiums, and they're trying to grow their economy again. Their economy is stifled. And they probably want good trade relations with the U.S., considering we represent a big part of the business that China does. And the Chinese premier, also president, also said that he's willing to take, you know, a better trade deal with Donald Trump after this meeting. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So I think China pretty much has gotten the message Trump is not going to roll over like Obama. And that Trump means business, and that the president of China learned after being informed during a steak and seafood dinner that Trump had launched 59 Tomahawk missiles at the chemical weapons base in Syria without asking Russia's permission. And after just giving a short warning, because we had a mutual agreement to do so that gave them 40 minutes to get out of Dodge because those missiles were coming. That's it. So that explains, I think, China's sudden shift in tone. You know, look, the bottom line is Reagan was right. Peace through strength works. It just does. It works. We'd only use it. And it looks like we're about to use it again. I don't understand all this criticism over Trump and the 59 Tomahawk missiles. It's called a message. By the way, the president did an interview with my colleague and friend. Maria Bartiromo is a lovely person. So nice. Thought she did a great interview. Watched it this morning on Fox Business, but she gave us a preview last night on Hannity. We'll show some of that interview tonight as well. But anyway, the president offered up a mixed review of James Comey, and he told Maria that, you know, he still has confidence in Comey, but he blamed the Obama administration appointee for keeping Hillary Clinton out of jail, and he said it's not too late to fire him.
Well, people are still wondering, though, they're scratching their heads why so many Obama-era staffers are still here. For example, was it a mistake not to ask Jim Comey to step down from the FBI at the outset of your presidency? Is it too late now to ask him to step down?
No, it's not too late, but, you know, I have confidence in him. We'll see what happens. You know, it's going to be interesting, but, you know, we have to just look. I have so many people that want to come into this administration. They're so excited about this administration and what's happening. Bankers, law enforcement people, everybody wants to come into this administration. Don't forget, when Jim Comey came out, he saved Hillary Clinton. People don't realize that. He saved her life, because I call it Comey One. And I joke about it a little bit. When he was reading those charges, she was guilty on every charge. And then he said she was essentially okay.
Director, well, that's Comey, why I'm asking. Why is he still on the job?
No, I'm just saying, well, because I want to give everybody a good, fair chance. Director Comey was very, very good to Hillary Clinton. That I can tell you. If he weren't, she would be right now going to trial.
Are you going to push that? Are you going to?
No, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about positive.
Wow. Comey's on a bubble. You know, I'm getting a little sick of John McCain and Lindsey Graham, too. John McCain sounding increasingly bitter. I've noticed this with anybody that loses the presidency. I think we saw a little bit of this, sadly, in Mitt Romney. I like Mitt Romney a lot. at the time, I still believe he would have been a pretty good president. Well, and now what that speech he gave against Trump, you can't. What was he thinking? Now John McCain is out there and gives an interview, and he says, quote, "You couldn't purchase the airtime that Trump got on 16 or 17 opponents, sucking all the oxygen out of the room. Joe Scarborough and others slobbered all over him every single morning and every night. I don't see that happening in the future. I think that in 2020, we will go back." What does that mean? That Trump's going to lose? He's predicting he'll lose? By the way, you remember McCain and, you know, because Lindsey Graham now is urging Trump to move the red line in Syria from chemical weapons to also barrel bombs. Why are these people so anxious after the disaster of Iraq? And it's a disaster, not because our troops didn't win, because we didn't complete the victory. And now ISIS has control because it was politicized. Why are these guys so anxious to get into a military confrontation? I'm not. I don't think we should ever send brave men and women and American treasure to go fight, bleed, and die on the battlefield to have yet another war politicized in Washington. Think about it through this prism. Well, what if that's your son and daughter that dies in Mosul, Ramadi, Fallujah, Tikrit, or Baghdad? Oops, sorry, never mind, we're pulling you out. It's insane allowing the politicization of a war like that. It's insane. Unbelievable. I hate these people in Washington. I just hate them. They're so, so corrupt. It's amazing we'll get anything done in the next 4 years in spite of these people. Trump will just push it through, I hope. All right, President Trump and the NATO leader are holding a press conference. We're starting it at the beginning. Here it is. Hit it.
Of Assad's murderous attack using the most horrible weapons, the vicious slaughter of innocent civilians with chemical weapons, including the barbaric killing of small and helpless children and babies, must be forcefully rejected by any nation that values human life. It is time to end this brutal civil war, defeat terrorists, and allow refugees to return home. In facing our common challenges, we must also ensure that NATO members meet their financial obligations and pay what they owe. Many have not been doing that. The Secretary General and I agree that other member nations must satisfy their responsibility to contribute 2% of GDP to defense. If other countries pay their fair share instead of relying on the United States to make up the difference, we will all be much more secure, and our partnership will be made that much stronger. The Secretary General and I had a productive discussion about what more NATO can do in the fight against terrorism. I complained about that a long time ago, and they made a change. And now they do fight terrorism. I said it was obsolete. It's no longer obsolete. It's my hope that NATO will take on an increased role in supporting our Iraqi partners in their battle against ISIS. I'm also sending General McMaster to Afghanistan to find out how we can make progress alongside our Afghan partners and NATO allies. Every generation has strived to adopt the NATO alliance to meet the challenges of their times. And on my visit to Brussels this spring, which I look very much forward to, we will work together to do the same. We must not be trapped by the tired thinking that so many have, but apply new solutions to face new circumstances, and that's all throughout the world. We're not here to stand on ceremony, but to develop real strategies to achieve safety, security, and peace. We're here to protect the freedom and prosperity of our citizens and to give them the future they so richly deserve. Secretary General, I'm honored to have you here today and to reaffirm our commitment to this alliance and to the enduring values that we proudly, and I mean very proudly, share. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. We just had an excellent and very productive meeting, and it's really an honor to meet you for the first time here in the White House. We agree that NATO is a bedrock of security, both for Europe and for the United States. Two world wars and a Cold War have taught us all that peace in Europe is not only important for Europeans, but it's also important for the prosperity and the security of North America. So a strong NATO is good for Europe, but a strong NATO is also good for the United States. And therefore, I welcome the very strong commitment of the United States to the security of Europe. We see this commitment not only in words, but also in deeds. Over the past months, thousands of U.S. troops have been deploying to Europe, a clear demonstration that America stands with allies to protect peace and defend our freedom. And yesterday, you announced the completion of the ratification of Montenegro's membership in NATO, another expression of your strong commitment to Europe and to the transatlantic bond, and we thank you for that. In a more dangerous and more unpredictable world, it is important to have friends and allies. And in NATO, America has the best friends and the best allies in the world. Together, we represent half of the world's economic and military power. No other superpower has ever had such a strategic advantage. This makes the United States stronger and safer. We saw that after the 9/11 attacks on the United States. That was the first time NATO invoked our Article 5, the Collective Defense Clause. Allies sent AWACS surveillance planes to help patrol American skies. And we launched NATO's biggest military operation ever in Afghanistan. Hundreds of thousands of Europeans and Canadian soldiers have served shoulder to shoulder with American troops. More than 1,000 have paid the ultimate price. Earlier today, I laid a wreath at Arlington National Cemetery in tribute to the fallen. It was a deeply moving experience. We owe it to our servicemen and women to preserve the hard-earned gains we have made together in Afghanistan. We were reminded of their sacrifice just this week when a U.S. soldier was killed there fighting ISIL. Our mission in Afghanistan is a major contribution to the fight against international terrorism. NATO plays a key role in many other ways also. All NATO allies are part of the global coalition to counter ISIL. And NATO provides direct support to the coalition with training for Iraqi forces in their fight against terrorists and more intelligence sharing. And you are right, we have established a new division for intelligence, which enhances our ability to fight terrorism and working together in the alliance to fight terrorism in an even more effective way. But we agreed today, you and I, that NATO can and must do more in the global fight against terrorism. In the fight against terrorism, training local forces is one of the best weapons we have. NATO has the experience, the expertise, and the staying power to make a real difference. And fighting terrorism will be an important topic when NATO leaders meet in Brussels in May. The other major topic will be fairer burden sharing in our alliance. And we had a thorough discussion on this issue today. And Mr. President, I thank you for your attention to this issue. We are already seeing the effect
of your strong focus on the importance of burden sharing in the alliance. We agree that allies need to redouble their efforts to meet the pledge we all made in 2014 to invest more in our alliance. It is about spending more on defense. It is about delivering the capabilities we need. And it is about contributing forces to NATO missions and operations. This means cash, capabilities, and contributions. Fair burden sharing has been my top priority since taking office. We have now turned a corner. In 2016, for the first time in many years, we saw an increase in defence spending across European allies and Canada. A real increase of 3.8%, or $10 billion more for our defence. We are now working to keep up the momentum, including by developing national plans outlining how to make good on what we agreed in 2014. We know that we all need to contribute our fair share, because we need to keep our nation safe in a more dangerous world. We discussed many different topics during our meeting today, including the horrendous use of chemical weapons in Syria. Any use of chemical weapons is unacceptable, cannot go unanswered, and those responsible must be held accountable. So, Mr. President, thank you once again. I look forward to working with you to keeping the alliance strong, and I look forward to welcoming you to Brussels in May, when heads of state and government in the alliance meet there to address the challenges and the need to continue to adapt the alliance to a more challenging security environment and to respond both to the need for fair burden sharing.
All right, this is President Trump and the NATO leader holding this joint press conference. We'll stick with it a little longer. I think questions are coming up, although this guy is boring me to tears. So we'll listen to some questions.
Jeff Mason.
Thank you.
If you're on the Sean Hannity Show Networks, we will probably blow through this break.
First, has your view of Vladimir Putin changed after what's happened in Syria? And what are you what is the United States prepared to do if he continues to support Assad? And on a separate question, have you made a deal after your chat last night with the president of China about China helping to rein in North Korea? And is that one reason you've decided not to label Beijing a currency manipulator?
I'll be speaking to... Yeah. You want to go ahead? Go ahead.
May I? For the Secretary General, do you believe NATO should continue to bolster its presence along the alliance's eastern border? And are you confident that you have President Trump and the United States support for that? Thank you.
I'll be speaking with Rex Tillerson in a little while, calling in. I think he had a very successful meeting in Russia. We'll see. We'll see the end result, which will be in a long period of time, perhaps. But the end result is what's most important, not just talk. And I think that based on everything I'm hearing, things went pretty well, maybe better than anticipated. It would be wonderful, as we were discussing just a little while ago, if NATO and our country could get along with Russia. Right now, we're not getting along with Russia at all. We may be at an all-time low in terms of relationship with Russia. This is built for a long period of time. But we're going to see what happens. Putin is the leader of Russia. Russia is a strong country. We're a very, very strong country. We're going to see how that all works out. Last night, separately, I spoke with a man that I've gotten to know. I don't know Putin, but I do know this gentleman. I've spent a lot of time with him over the last 2 days, and he is the president of China. You were there, most of you were there, and it was quite an interesting period of time. President Xi wants to do the right thing. We had a very good bonding. I think we had a very good chemistry together. I think he wants to help us with North Korea. We talk trade, we talk a lot of things, and I said, the way you're going to make a good trade deal is to help us with North Korea. Otherwise, we're just going to go it alone. That'll be all right, too. But going it alone means going it with lots of other nations. But I was very impressed with President Xi, and I think he means well, and I think he wants to help. We'll see whether or not he does.
Do you feel like you have a deal with him? And if I could just... Do you feel like you have a deal with him in terms of the currency manipulation designation? And have your views changed on Putin?
We're going to see. We're going to see about that. And I'll also see about Putin over a period of time. It'd be a fantastic thing if we got along with Putin and if we got along with Russia. And that could happen. And it may not happen. It may be just the opposite. I can only tell you what I would like to do. I would love to be able to get along with everybody. Right now, the world is a mess. But I think by the time we finish, I think it's going to be a lot better place to live. And I can tell you that, speaking for myself.
We're going to stay with this press conference if you are listening along the Sean Hannity Show network. And if you decide to take a break, we will understand.
NATO is in the process of implementing the biggest reinforcement of our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. And one element of that is to increase our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance. And we are now deploying 4 battle groups to the 3 Baltic countries and Poland. And there will also be more U.S. forces in that part of Europe. And this is the first time in many, many years that we see an increase in the military presence of the United States in Europe. So we are increasing our presence. And we are also increasing the readiness and the preparedness of our forces so we can quickly reinforce if needed. We consider the presence we will have when the 4 battle groups are in place as sufficient given the current security situation in Europe. But of course, we will assess the situation and follow the developments very closely. The message from NATO is that what we do is proportionate, it is defensive, and we don't want a new Cold War, we don't want a new arms race. And actually, we strongly believe that there is no contradiction between a strong NATO, a credible deterrence and defense, and political dialogue with Russia. I actually believe that the precondition for a political dialogue with Russia is that we are strong and that we are united. But based on that, we can talk to Russia because Russia is our neighbor. Russia is there to stay. So we have to find ways to manage our relationship with Russia. And I am absolutely certain that the United States supports this approach, partly because the United States is contributing with forces to our enhanced presence in the eastern part of the alliance and also in the southeast of the alliance in Romania. And the United States and the president has clearly expressed that they want dialogue with Russia, but based on unity and strength in the alliance. Then the next question is from John Sopel.
Thank you very much. Secretary General, how long do you think it will take you to persuade the other European countries to burden share? And what are you going to do to persuade them? Mr. President, could I ask you, do you think it's...
I like that question.
I'm here to help. And Mr. President, do you think it's conceivable, what's your instinct, was it possible that Syrian forces could have launched that attack in Idlib last week without the Russians knowing? And have you been disappointed, surprised by Vladimir Putin's reaction since then? Thank you very much.
I think it's certainly possible. I think it's probably unlikely. And I know they're doing investigations into that right now. I would like to think that they didn't know, but certainly they could have. They were there. So we'll find out. General Mattis is looking into it with the entire Pentagon group that does that kind of work. So it was very disappointing to see. It's disappointing no matter who does it, but when you get into the gases, especially that form, it's vicious and violent, and everybody in this room saw it all too many times over the last 3 or 4 days. Young children dying, babies dying, fathers holding children in their arms that were dead children. There can't be a worse sight, and it shouldn't be allowed. That's a butcher. That's a butcher. So I felt we had to do something about it. I have absolutely no doubt we did the right thing. And it was very, very successfully done, as you well know. Thank you.
On defense spending and burden sharing, that has been my top priority. I have raised it in all my meetings in all capitals I have visited with prime ministers, presidents, minister of finance, and of course also defense and foreign ministers. And I expect, of course, all allies to make good on what they decided back in 2014. And a very strong and clear message from President Trump has been very helpful. So now we see that things are starting to move in the right direction. For the first time after many, many years of decline in defense spending, we now see an increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada. So they have started to move in the right direction. 3.8% real increase in defense spending across Europe and Canada is a significant step in the right direction. It's not enough. We still have a long way to go, but at least they have turned a corner. European allies have turned a corner. Instead of reducing defense spending, they have started to increase defense spending. Then I think it is important to remember that this is something the Europeans do because they know that this is in their own security interest. It is in their interest to invest more in European defense because the world has become more dangerous. Many European allies, of course, all European allies reduced defense spending after the end of the Cold War because then tensions went down. But if you are decreasing defense spending when tensions are going down, then you have to be able to increase the defense spending when tensions are going up, and now they are going up. So we have still a long way to go, but I'm encouraged by the fact that we have...
All right, basically going around in circles here, but that is the head of NATO, the NATO General Secretary, and of course, President Trump, they seem to be going back to the two issues. One was the president's military action in Syria, which he defended strongly, and number two, NATO paying their fair share of things. All right, let's get a quick call in here. 800-941-SEAN is on number. Let's go to Patrick, is in Pennsylvania. Patrick, hi, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Semper Fi there, Sean.
Yeah. How are you? Semper Fi, sir.
Good, good. I'm doing good. And I thank God every day that we have President Trump and not President Clinton.
Or President Appeaser, yeah.
Right. My thought on this was that some talk show, some of the talk shows are mentioning that President Trump wasn't gracious to China, and he kind of like put him out in the public eye, so to speak.
It's absolutely not true. I know people that were there. I have my inside sources. They got along fabulously. They were scheduled to have a 45-minute to one-hour meeting. It ended up going over 5 hours. And it was a great personal connection. And I think we're seeing maybe some of the fruits of this is now China is threatening North Korea to take out their nuclear sites. So I don't know who's saying it, but, I mean, there's so much fake news out there on NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, New York Times, Washington Post. Who knows anymore? People don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea. I know for a fact that's not true. Hey, listen, if you want to win $1,500 to buy the gun of your dreams, our friends at the USCCA are going to pick 10 lucky winners. One could be you. Now, the USCCA, they provide education, training, self-defense insurance for people that are responsible gun owners like you and me. All you have to do to register for your 10 chances to win is go to defendfamily.com. You'll lock those 10 chances in right away. It's that simple. This deal doesn't last forever. Your eligibility ends May 31st. Details are simple. I don't want you to miss out. 10 legal U.S. residents 21 and older will each receive $1,500 to buy any gun they want. No restrictions. Any gun off the shelf. Just go to defendfamily.com for official rules. Lock in your 10 chances to win. Remember the website, defendfamily.com. All right, when we come back, Brigitte Gabriel is going to weigh in on the president's comments he just made about Syria. And we'll talk about why the president made those actions, how proportional it was, and I'll explain how it is actually in keeping with Trump's campaign promises, and that is to battle terror, no protracted confrontations, no boots on the ground. All right, so we'll get to that next, and we'll update you on Marshall Polston, the story of the kid at Rawlings College. Straight up. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of this extravaganza, all right, so the president saying Syria a no-go. The way the media is handling this, oh, the president, he's, you know, what was the point? The point was to stop the use of chemical weapons. And the president said what? He was going to take on terror where he saw it, defeat ISIS. He said he has no interest in any protracted wars or conflict or occupation. So it's all within what he promised as a candidate. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to be joined. Remember, we told you about this 20-year-old kid who's a sophomore at this school down in Florida, and he had a professor of Middle Eastern humanities who told students Jesus' disciples did not believe he was God and other things. Anyway, he's going to join us. We'll update you on that in a few minutes. But first, Brigitte Gabriel is with us. I would be shocked if Bashar al-Assad ever used chemical weapons again. And it's in keeping with everything the president said he would do, fight terror, not have protracted wars, doesn't want boots on the ground, etc. So what do you think of the president's position here?
Well, the president is correct, Sean. We, America is back, and we needed to send a very strong message, not only to Assad, but also to other agents of terror around the world, that the use of chemical weapons will not be tolerated in any way, shape, or form. Listen, Syria is a lose-lose situation no matter what we do, because I know a lot of people say, well, by bombing the weapons, we basically are helping ISIS if we attack Assad. Well, no matter who we attack, we have to take a stand in Syria and save the lives of innocent people from biological weapons. We have to remember that the base that we bombed in Syria, that same base is used by Hezbollah and also Iran's Quds Brigade. Can you imagine if Hezbollah or Iran's brigades will have access to these weapons of mass destruction? So we needed to bomb these this location and send a very strong message to ISIS as well as Iran.
It was a proportional response. North Korea was obviously paying attention. Putin was paying attention. We've seen Rex Tillerson there all day. And we know that everybody in the world now knows they may not like it. They, you know, all the saber rattling in the world doesn't change it. But the reality is we're not leading from behind. We're not drawing red lines in the sand that we don't mean. We're not saying that Assad doesn't have chemical weapons when we know, in fact, he does and he uses them. And
correct.
So the president, I would be shocked to see Assad ever use these chemical weapons again. Why?
No, he won't. And many other people around the world are going to think twice before they use anything like this. And by the way, the Russians knew that we were going to bomb. I mean, we notified the Russians. The Russians could have sent missiles to stop us, and yet they did not. So that means even Russia, who knew that we were going to bomb this location, stood on the sideline and said, well, we're going to pay attention. We're going to wait. We're not going to get involved. Because they knew that the use of weapons of mass destruction was bad. Now, there are words that they may have participated in it. We do not know yet. But in any case, they are taking notice as well.
All right. Let me move on. Brigitte, you've been working with Marshall Poulston, and he was suspended from Rollins College for challenging a Muslim professor's anti-Christian assertions, including the claim that Jesus's crucifixion never took place. Welcome back, Marshall. And what was there were also other things in class that were said about terror. What were the exact quotes?
Well, thank you, Sean, again, for having me on. I was quite shocked. I mean, the quotes involved the decapitation of limbs, basically as a product of breaking Sharia law or committing a crime under Islam. And a student said that. And I was very surprised to hear the student basically advocating for that, and it was very disturbing. So I spoke up about it through an email, and I sent her an email about that and a couple of other things, and she sent me over to the dean's office, canceled the next class, and ultimately I was suspended. She also tried to bring an injunction against me, and she lied to the police, which was really reprehensible. But ultimately I was reinstated, obviously, and the injunction was knocked out of court.
Okay, so you're reinstated, she's gone, but what was it about terror in particular that she supported, or jihad? I remember you told me the last time you were on.
Yeah, well, it involved in regards to the student said something along the lines of, you know, gays or the thieves or whatever the punishment may be, that those individuals should either be decapitated or stoned or what have you. And her comments that have been made in the past are really crazy. If you look at some of the sworn statements by Dr. Gawaji's children, who she was married to at one time, these people are real radicals. They had at one time advocated, and this is according to their children, or to his, to their children, that Dr. Gawaji and her, my professor, said that they wanted to blow them up. And you can go through the entire deposition. It's really insane what these people have said and who they've donated to, like Mercy International and other terrorists.
Well, a lot of people. Go ahead.
But now what's happening is the school has been trying to vilify me. And one of the things that has occurred is there's a professor named Richard Fogelsong who's been going all over Facebook saying that, well, this is really about a sexual harassment case with another student, despite the fact that I was reinstated, despite the fact that the professor is the one who got the injunction against me and that was thrown out of court. So he's been defaming me all across Facebook. I sent a letter to the school, and I haven't received any response about that. But it's highly disappointing that they have other professors now engaging in this sort of behavior. And, you know, it's really outrageous that this goes on to silence people who are trying to speak their own mind and have a freedom of speech.
But, Brigitte, you've studied this particular professor. You know, what Marshall here is describing is somebody that probably our government should be investigating. Am I wrong in assuming that?
No, you are not wrong. And actually, the FBI was looking at her and watching her. The FBI was working with the ex-wife of this man that she married, who was basically feeding the FBI information about how this professor, Zafari, is radicalizing the children into becoming jihadists. And not only that, Sean, but Professor Zahari was the spokesperson of the Islamic Society of Central Florida. Now, as you well know, the Islamic Society is basically was listed as number one in the unindicted co-conspirators in the Holy Land Foundation trial and mentioned as the number one organization in the Muslim Brotherhood Project, with the Muslim Brotherhood planning on destroying America from within. They were listed as number one on the list of the front organizations for the Muslim Brotherhood in America. So her ties to terrorism are very deep and are very wide. And this professor has no business teaching on any American college, but by the way, even though she was forced to resign from Rollins College, she still teaches full-time at Valencia College in Orlando, Florida, and we are now mobilizing to make sure that Valencia College will get her out or force her to resign as well, because we do not need radical professors with ties to terrorism brainwashing and intimidating our students on college campuses. I encourage people to go to actforamerica.org and get involved to help us make sure that professors like that do not teach our students.
Let me ask you, Marshall, I mean, are people reacting to you in any certain way on campus? Some people supporting you, some people angry at you. How's that going?
Well, you know, I have to say, this is a very, very liberal campus. I'd probably say 80% of the students are liberal, but most of them are reacting positively to me because they know that freedom of speech is very important. And there have been voices, mainly from professors, who have been trying to defend the university, and that's understandable coming from them. But look, I think in all fairness, students should have the freedom of religion and the freedom of speech. And when Jacob Engels first broke this story at the Central Florida Post, people called it fake news or what have you. But as time went on, they've had to try to evolve or change their narrative because I was reinstated. The injunction was thrown out. She lied to the police. I mean, you can't get more.
Well, yeah, but you were very lucky because you actually had evidence and proof, because she was claiming that you tried to intimidate her by looking into the classroom window, and you had evidence that you were an hour away in a particular restaurant. Let me ask about all right, I understand you're reinstated, but where's the apology? Where's the retraction? Where's the scholarship money, because you might sue them?
Right, and well, my attorney Ken Lewis and I just sent the school a letter yesterday. No response yet, but we asked for a public apology from the school, from both professors now, especially Professor Zufari, and we're hoping to hear something from them. If not, we're going to have to consider further legal action, and we would probably do that anyway.
Why would you consider legal action? You should absolutely get involved in legal action. I think this is an abuse of their power. They jumped to conclusions. They smeared and slandered you. And I think the school, at the very least, should have come out with a public apology the minute you were reinstated. And I don't even know why that's an issue for them. It reminds me of these idiots over at United Airlines. You know, they pull this guy out in the aisle when all they had to do was offer, you know, a hotel room and $5,000 spending money. You would have had everybody racing for the door to get off that airplane. Now it's going to cost them millions. So go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they have slandered me, and the worst part about it is I've been receiving so many death threats and hate mail through Facebook, even in my email. It's just crazy how many people are telling me just horrible things or cursing me out and saying, you know, I can't even say it on the air. It's so horrible.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break here. All right, news roundup, information overload, toll free. Our telephone number is 800-941-SHAWN. It's amazing how everybody has a comment on this United Airlines dragging this poor guy down the aisle because United Airlines was stupid and dumb and wouldn't up the ante and get to the price point where somebody would say, all right, I'll take the four flights, I'll take the hotel room and the $2,000 spending. Well, now they're going to end up paying millions, and their stock plummeted yesterday. Here's the CEO, Oscar Munoz, is the United Airlines CEO, and what he had to say about it.
What did you think when you saw that video of a man being dragged off of one of your planes?
Oh, good morning, and thank you for having me. It's not so much what I thought, it's what I felt. Probably the word ashamed comes to mind. You know, as I think about our business and our people, the first thing I think is important to say is to apologize to Dr. Dow, his family, the passengers on that flight, our customers, our employees. That is not who our family at United is. And you saw us at a bad moment. And this will never happen again on a United Airlines flight. That's my premise, and that's my promise.
Why not communicate that shame, as you call it initially? In your initial apology, in your initial statement, you apologized for reaccommodating passengers. And in your internal notes to your employees, you talked about a belligerent and disruptive passenger. Why did it take until Tuesday to offer a more full-hearted apology?
I think my first reaction to most issues is to get the facts and circumstances. And my initial words fell short of truly expressing what we were feeling. And that's something that I've learned from. The expression of apology, and specific to the folks I mentioned before, is an important part of a conversation like this, because, again, that shame and embarrassment was pretty palpable for me and for a lot of our family.
Yeah, well, you should have said it in the beginning, you big dope. I mean, you're just so stupid. For example, if you watched it the first time, listen to the passenger as he's being dragged off the plane.
Pilots drive to Lola. Can't they rent a car for the pilots and have them drive? No, this is wrong. Oh, my God. Look at what you did to him. Oh, my God.
You know, I got to tell you, the only person that would have deserved that treatment is Rick Unger.
I was going to say, that's usually how I feel when you drag me out of the studio.
Don't drag you out of the studio. Rick Unger is with us. Of course, he's the co-host of the Steele and Unger Show on SiriusXM. Jonathan Gillum, host of the Experts, Navy SEAL, former Navy SEAL, FBI agent. Can you still have your Air Marshal license?
No. You're a federal officer, so when you leave federal government, when you leave that job, it's like, go back to being a civilian. But I will tell you this. I guarantee you the lady that was yelling, saying how wrong it was, but was not offering up her seat, was a liberal. I can guarantee that.
This is so wrong, but I'm
not giving up my seat.
This is a very simple fix. Now, they're losing millions and millions of dollars here because this is how you do it. You got a full plane of passengers. You overbooked the flight. I understand that's the practice, whatever. Okay. You go in and you say, okay, we'll give you $800 each to leave. And apparently they were going to do it, but then it didn't work out. All right. So Then you go in and you say, all right,
$1,000.
I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you 4 airline tickets anywhere United flies, and we'll pay for your hotel, and we'll give in spending money. Okay, no takers. We'll give you 8 tickets, a 5-star hotel, and $5,000.
Sooner or later, someone's going to take it.
I'm going to take it at that point.
Yeah, but you know what? United never promised friendly people. They only promise friendly skies.
Oh, okay. Well, they were down on the ground. See, if it was you, Unger, I wouldn't defend.
You
I would defend
been
United.
Sharing it. Say,
no,
get,
I would
knock
defended,
him out.
I would have defended United Airlines. I would have said he totally deserves it. He probably was talking about Obama and his love for Obama.
That guy
it was one of the most outrageous things I've seen in quite some time.
How are people that stupid?
Well, and you know what?
In this day and age, how can you be?
All kidding aside, I did call my broker,
right,
and tell him and told him to sell whatever United stock I might have. I was offended by what they did to the
so
man.
So you took a hit.
But yeah, I'm sure I did. But you know what it was about? If a CEO is that stupid,
wow,
this does not bode well for the future of a company. I don't want to hold their stock.
I did the same thing, but I realized I don't have a broker or stock. So, but I will tell you this.
You're on hand in his
account, right? A lot of people don't know how wealthy Unger is, but I mean, he's almost up there with Trump.
Yeah. No. I'm not even close to you, Hannity. Come on.
Yeah, sure.
So here's the thing about this whole situation. I talked about this last night on my show, The Experts, on Facebook Live. I think we start with a passenger. If I'm approached by law enforcement, they were not right approaching him. However, I'm not going to go to the extreme that I'm drug off of a plane. The way society is, people do that and over dramatize stuff. I think that this was a civil affair between a company and a passenger, and the company should have handled that. They handled it wrong, which is an example of where the airline industry is in this day and age. It's no longer customer service. It's now you have to be here, so we're going to take advantage of you.
But you know what this reminds me of, and this is where Unger and I are going to separate our agreement here.
Uh-oh.
It reminds me of government. It's like you go to the DMV, which is a nightmare. Although my local DMV has gotten a little bit better. I was there not that long ago.
So now they're going to let you cut in line because you said that, right?
No. I didn't cut in line, but there was a very helpful fan that was working there that
just said, oh, Mr. Hannity, come this way, would you?
No, I didn't get special treatment. I didn't
yes,
cut the line.
Did.
Don't turn me into a snob. There are people in our business that call and say, well, I'd like to go to the concert.
That's
Can
true.
I have free tickets? I would never do that. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I don't.
I know people that do. I'm like, how do you not pay your way for tickets?
Right.
I'll give you an example. Remember when Governor Patterson got in trouble over the Yankee game when he was governor? That same game, I went to StubHub, and I bought my tickets. So I'm talking about it on the air when the governor got caught and got in trouble. I'm like, well, I went to that game. I bought my tickets on StubHub. Randy Levine of the Yankees calls me. He goes, you big dope, why didn't you just call me? I said, because I don't ask for free stuff.
Right.
He goes,
that actually happened to the mayor of Los Angeles, too. He was getting
freebies to
Lakers games.
What is this free stuff? And life isn't free. You pay your way. And then he goes, well, I could have gotten it to you for price. I said, but then I'd be taking advantage of our friendship. I don't believe in doing that.
Now, it's different if you're invited. If Randy Levine calls you up and says, I'd love you to come to the
game
with me.
Well, if I'm going as a friend, if I'm going to a game and I invite you guys and I have tickets, you're my guest.
Right.
That would be different, but he didn't invite me to the game, so I went on StubHub. By the way, StubHub is the greatest thing in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
They overcharge, but at least you get good seats.
Yeah, you can get any seat you want, any price range you want, but remember, liberals like you were fighting, called it ticket scalping. It's not ticket scalping.
No, it's not ticket scalping. If you buy them, you're allowed to resell them.
But for years, it was illegal.
It was, yeah.
Because of liberals.
Right. Not because of liberals.
Because of liberals.
I believe it was illegal during some Republican administrations.
You know, when you said that the things aren't free in life, I hear in the distance through the window the same screaming that I heard the lady screaming on the plane. All the liberals out there, they cannot believe that stuff's not free.
Yeah.
And they're screaming.
You guys, you can turn anything into a political disagreement, right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
Sean's
Obama.
Wearing a blue shirt. Sean apparently has become a blue stater.
That seems to be black.
Okay,
to me,
it seems
shirt.
To be black.
Well, I'm colorblind.
You're colorblind.
It looks blue.
It figures. Well, what do you make of Susan Rice? She lied about Bo Bergdahl being, he served with honor and distinction. No, he got troops killed because he deserted. And she lied 5 times on Sunday shows. We know the timeline now. She lied through her teeth, and they knew. She lied about not knowing anything about what happened with surveillance and unmasking, and then had to admit it because she knew she was going to be found out.
Mm-hmm. She didn't admit it. We had this conversation
last week.
She did
so admit it.
No, she didn't. Play that whole tape. Not the piece that you choose, but the whole tape.
You have to talk to Rick.
2 weeks earlier, she said, I don't know a thing.
No. To what question?
Play that.
No, but play it with the question.
I don't have it with the question.
Well, then it
doesn't have it with the
then
question.
It's rigged.
Question and the answer does not exist together. Therefore, we cannot play it, Mr. Unger. Not some liberal trick.
You have to put it into context.
No, this is your way of getting out of checkmate because you know she said she knew nothing about.
It is not. Heard what she said.
Unger is an attorney, so you have to talk to him like an attorney. The preponderance of the evidence
if my mother
points
wanted to
out
call
that
me
she's
Unger.
A liar.
If my mother wanted to call me Unger.
Okay,
she
Ricky.
Name me Unger.
Okay,
Unger.
I'll call you Ricky. The preponderance of the evidence is that she's a liar. And in the South, we say if it looks like a chicken and it clucks like a chicken,
you know,
it's a chicken.
By the way, it's supposed to be a duck. I don't know what part of the South.
Yeah, right. See, that is just, I rest my case.
Yeah, we all rest our case. Well, you got to say that Trump has momentum.
He had a good week.
He had a great week. And now,
What did I do? Tell everybody what I did after the Syria attack.
You wrote me a nice note.
Didn't I?
And you said he did the right thing, and you said you agreed with it.
Yes.
How come some of my friends say, no, he should never have done this?
Because they don't understand Syria. They don't understand. Look, the truth is, we don't have an ally, if you really want to look at it realistically. Syria, we have no ally. Assad's not our ally. The rebels aren't our allies. The ISIS is not our ally. Russia is not our ally. We don't have an ally
there. No.
But wait a minute. He's keeping every campaign promised. A, he's fighting terror here against children. B, he's not occupying. C, he's not putting boots on the grounds. But he is drawing a line and means it. And now the world is like bubbling and fizzing because America's now changed dramatically since your cowardly president was there. Your gutless president was there.
I think you know this. I can't say radical Islam president. I disagreed with President Obama on his Syria policy. I was always very clear about that. And if I'm going to criticize this president on this issue for anything, I might have gone a little further than he did.
So this is where I think we're starting to get a little further.
Well, you got Gorsuch done, and my inside sources are telling me that health care is not far away from being
done. Well, I'm hearing that, too. Unfortunately, I think health care is going to hurt the very people he promised.
No, not at all.
Yes, it is. Listen to my show tonight, Stealing on SiriusXM.
How do we jump from Syria to health care all of a sudden?
He did it.
Why do I get blamed for everything? All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, as we continue our news roundup, information overload. Rick Unger, Jonathan Gillum with us. The Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson, meeting with Putin and his representatives in Russia. You know what that means? That the people over at NBC are going to be claiming this is more evidence that Putin orchestrated the Syrian gas attacks against children so that it can make Trump look good by sending in 59 Tomahawk missiles and distract the press. You're laughing. Those are your peeps. These are your people.
If that's what they say, then they're nuts.
You want to hear it?
I got it. Did they really say that?
Yeah, listen to this.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was just completely, totally, absolutely impossible to suspect that Vladimir Putin orchestrated what happened in Syria this week so that his friend in the White House could have a big night with missiles and all of the praise he's picked up over the last 24 hours? Wouldn't it be so nice if you couldn't even in your wildest dreams imagine a scenario like that?
Wouldn't it be great if we could go back to Wag the Dog being a sitcom plot, you know?
Exactly. And I don't know what it is. Is it a 2% chance? Is it a 50% chance? I don't know. But I don't think it's a 0% chance. And it used to be with every other president prior to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I'm going to, these are words that are painful for me to say.
Isn't that the guy that doesn't wear this?
I agree with Hannity on this one.
Isn't that the guy that doesn't wear the same pair of socks twice?
I don't know, Lawrence O'Donnell. Lord knows that I tend to be very critical of President Trump. But you know what? If you're going to be critical when he does something right, you have to be just as quick to compliment.
I don't care that they're liberals, but I mean, it's not even, I don't even need to compliment or they don't have to agree on the bombing of. Their position is we're going to let children get gassed with chemical weapons and do nothing.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I think America has I don't want troops on the ground. I don't want to be the world's police force. But not to do anything is really inexcusable.
Couldn't agree more.
But okay, they can disagree on that. But to make up for 8 months, your team has been talking about a Russia-Putin Trump campaign conspiracy. Tell me any evidence that exists.
There's more.
I haven't seen enough. I'll tell you that.
Have you seen any?
I've seen a few things.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to tell you what I've seen. I can't do that.
No, that means he However, doesn't have,
but,
he
no,
Jonathan,
but I am saying,
nothing.
But listen
nothing.
To everything I'm saying. I haven't seen enough. But by the same token, you keep going after Susan Rice. You haven't seen any evidence either.
Yeah,
I think we have.
I've talked to the people that have.
Well, then you and I both have sources.
I have a feeling Sean's sources are...
His are good, but mine are good, too.
Mine are in power. Mine actually have access to this stuff.
Rick's sources are CNN. Somebody from CNN's telling him that this is the way it goes.
Rick calls Rachel Maddow on the hotline and saying, hey, Rach, can you give me an update on this?
We have our friends in Congress.
I don't care that they have liberal voices, but the conspiracy thing under the banner of NBC News is so bizarre to me.
If we're going to go off of their theories,
well, look, it is an opinion show. I think it's a silly opinion.
But if we're going to go off their theories, it's just as likely that CNN and the rest of the mainstream media are the ones who did the gassing so they could force Trump into acting. I mean, look, these theories are ridiculous.
8 months, no evidence, and Admiral Rogers, James Comey, James Clapper all said there's no evidence.
Yeah,
none. Zero, zip, nada.
Let it play out. I'm saying that
about
all
this. It's been playing out for 8 months.
They haven't even really they just started Senate hearings in the Intelligence Committee.
Or we would have seen it by now.
Let's see what the hearings. That's not true.
You think Charles Manson's guilty, or do you know?
No.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he
did. All right, I got to take a break. Guys, good to see you. When we come back, wide open telephones, and we will continue. Anyway, before we get to your calls here, which we will in a second, I want to introduce to you Aaron Nierbaum is with us. He's the founder of Troops Direct, and every week he hears from commanders in the field that are serving in Afghanistan, Africa, and elsewhere, and they're calling to ask for things that they're having trouble getting through normal military bureaucratic channels. And, you know, he fills these specific requests from commanders in the field, everything from tourniquets and eye protection and gun lubricant. I mean, it's ridiculous that we don't take care of these guys. I had a chance to meet Aaron recently, and I just wanted to give you a chance to plug what you're doing and how people can help make a difference.
Sean, thanks for having me on. You forgot advanced life support kits for helicopter medevac units. You forgot ballistic helmets, uniforms, laser range finders, sniper systems for our units that are heading into Iraq, potentially the Koreas, and everywhere else. It's scary times right now for our troops, and they are under-equipped, unfortunately.
Well, hopefully this is all going to change after this hopeful health care bill gets done. Then they're going to move into their spending bill and the budget, and that's a big part of the Trump agenda, to spend more money on the military and get bullets and ammunition and everything else that they need, because, you know, body armor is a big problem, and you know, special operation forces, they're missing some of their military supplies on back order. It's ridiculous.
No, you're absolutely right, Sean. But the thing to remember is that, Trump wants to increase spending on defense, but our adversaries know that that's not going to happen in the first 100 days. It's going to take years, if not his entire administration, to affect that. And it will buy ships and it will buy jets, but the warfighter, the peacekeeper in the dirt on the border of Iraq and Syria, or somewhere in Afghanistan, is going to be the last individual to get it. And I will tell you that in the last 14 days, Sean, these are scary and uncertain times, Troops Direct has received more requests than we have ever seen in any 14-day period from our special operations forces, our Marines, our soldiers. And we are supplying them as a nonprofit organization at zero expense to that unit, because
That's
they need
awesome.
This gear. Well, they can't get it through the supply line, and we are literally shipping on a daily basis to every point on the globe for these Americans.
So what advice can you give some of our listeners, you know, to help you get the troops what they need and what they're missing? And we'll put it up on our website.
We're the only nonprofit of its kind, and over 90 cents of every dollar goes to getting our troops what they need. And truly, if our Americans want to make a difference and help those that are en route to combat zones right now, go to troopsdirect.org, make a donation so that we can take the request that comes in right now, turn it around, and get it ordered and shipped. I mean, truly, it's been a chaotic few weeks. We don't know what's going to happen, especially with North Korea. I don't know if you know this, Sean, or if your listeners know, but 150,000 Chinese soldiers have mobilized to the border of China and North Korea. as our Americans are heading into the Korean Peninsula. I know for a fact that we have forces heading to the Syrian border right now, and I can't say more than that on the air. But they have contacted us because they are mobilizing so quickly for stuff that they can't get through their own military supply chain. And Troops Direct does literally.
So give me the website, and we'll put it up on our website.
I'm sorry, say it again, Sean?
Give me the website, and we'll put it up on our website.
TroopsDirect.org. TroopsDirect.org. You can make a tax-deductible donation there so that we can buy the helmets that we need to buy today, truly. Uniforms, the communications gear that we have to buy today. We probably have $50,000 in equipment that we have to buy between yesterday, today, and what we'll spend tomorrow as well.
All right, we put it up on our website. Thank you for all you're doing. Aaron, we really appreciate it. And, you know, we'll put you on regularly as the needs arise, and we appreciate all you do every day. Thank you.
The needs come in every day. We appreciate your support, Sean.
And no problem at all. 800-941-SEAN, our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Let's say hi to Tom in Charleston. He's in South Carolina on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up? You know, I was in Charleston.
Do
you ever go to that steakhouse called Hall's in there in Charleston?
We got a few restaurants down here.
Did you ever hear of Hall's Steakhouse?
Oh, yeah.
I went there. Food is fantastic. The place was great.
If you don't have good food in Charleston, you get run out of town.
I definitely believe it.
We're very, very. I worked about 20 years in food and beverage in Charleston myself.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind today, my friend?
What's up with Trump's golf? Do we need to put a term limit on how many times he can play golf in a week or a month?
You know, I've been down to Mar-a-Lago once to do an interview. Only one time. I've never been to a Trump hotel, a Trump golf course. I've never taken anything from Trump. I have a collection of Trump ties, which you can buy in the Trump Tower lobby. But short of that, I don't get anything from Trump. I don't want anything from Trump. I'm going to tell you this. When he's down there, he's working. Watch what he does every day. Now, if he takes 2 hours out of his day, because this is really like the White House South for him. Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Hannity, you got on Obama for playing golf. Obama never accomplished anything. Trump's busy working.
So, well, we're giving his critics all this ammunition for them to use against him about the money he's spending on these weekly trips. Army-Navy country clubs right across the Beltway. He can go play golf there.
Yeah, he probably can, but you can't exactly play like I do in 40-degree. I actually play in 35, 40-degree weather. How stupid am I?
Because, well, I used to walk Army-Navy country club, which is right there in Arlington, Virginia.
Well, I'm not a good enough golfer, so I don't. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I could care less about golf. It's not the most important thing in my life. I usually go to hang out with my
Halls. You should have, you know, gone out.
I usually
and played one of those courses.
I did.
I
played the Ocean Course, and I got a birdie on 17. I played the Ocean Course.
Did you get worn out there?
I got totally worn out, and it wasn't even a breezy day. It's a tough course, but I did all right. I drive the ball really well. My irons are pretty good. Listen, I can't chip, I can't putt, and I can't get out of sand, so I'm never going to be a good golfer. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. Michelle is in Gary, North Carolina. What's up, Michelle? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Yesterday, when I was listening to your show, you were talking about McCain and Graham and just kind of what is going on in their minds. And I think them and everybody else that's on the left, anybody that is not in support of Trump is desperate for him to be hated by the American people because they are so fearful that they know once his entire cabinet is in and we can get all of the spies and all the people that are, you know, trying to destroy him as he tries to build up our country, once he can get them out of the White House, he is going to unveil absolutely what's been happening in our government, which is not for the good of the American people. And I think everyone who wants to be a career politician, who is in it only for themselves, who does not care about the United States remaining a constitutional republic, every one of those people, they need to get out. And they're so fearful that the American people are going to see that once all this is, you know, once he's allowed to actually have the power that he needs, that they're going to do anything to tear him down.
John McCain said, I don't see this happening in the future, meaning Trump getting TV time. In 2020, we will go back. And I'm like, really? Do you want, you know, here's a historic opportunity to change the country for the better. And you know what? I don't know who's going to become a Democrat faster, him or Lindsey Graham, but one of them. Anyway,
well,
I appreciate
I agree. And yeah. I think the other thing is this is no longer even between Democrats and Republicans. This is really becoming between good and evil.
Listen, I just think it's the difference between the swamp and that Trump wants to drain the swamp. And when he drains the swamp, well, that means a lot of Republicans are caught up in the swamp, too. But I got to run. 800-941-SEAN.